set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And if you're listening in and wondering who is Blazing Grace, we are an international ministry to persons who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, anything in that arena. Surveys are showing that upwards of 70% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women are struggling at some level with pornography, in addition to massive numbers of youth. So in this broadcast, I'm going to talk about what's the problem with porn. And porn has become mainstream in America and in other countries. For example, the UK is the second largest consumer of porn in the world. Our country, the US, is the number one consumer and producer of pornography in the world, to our shame. And it's huge business here. So a lot of you know OnlyFans. It's basically a do-it-yourself porn site. Last year, that had more than $7 billion in sales. And the U.S. is the number one customer of that site. Other countries, people from other countries get involved too, but a lot of their customers are Americans. And then there's Pornhub has shown for years that by double, the U.S. is the number one consumer of porn in the world. But the thing that really breaks my heart is that every day in the United States, a pastor or a worship leader or a youth pastor is arrested or exposed for pornography, including child pornography or some kind of sexual sin. So I'm going to read you a couple news articles. And these two are just from yesterday, and several others are recent in the last week or so. So the first one, North Carolina Christian school teacher charged with creating porn using AI and students' faces. Richard Lynn, and I won't say his last name, 56, was arrested in February and is facing 10 felony counts of second-degree sexual exploitations of a minor. Christian school teacher. Next, a Cedarville University, and they are affiliated with Presbyterian Church. This is a Bible college. The finance professor, who has written books, material promoting Christian ethics of marriage and sexuality, was arrested earlier this week on 8 sex-related felony charges, including one or more of his children. Next, this is from Kansas City. An associate youth pastor in Clay County, Missouri, is facing several charges for sex crimes involving a teenager. He has been charged with felony statutory rape, possession of child porn, and furnishing pornographic materials to a minor. Next, a pastor in Albany, New York, this is from Church Leaders, has been arrested and charged with multiple counts of first-degree rape. The investigation into, and I won't say his name, he's 75 years old, remains ongoing. And authorities believe that more victims would come forward. Next, a former pastor of a Presbyterian church in America in Mississippi was sentenced on March 16th to 30 years in prison with 5 years suspended. He is a former pastor of that church and charged with statutory rape, sexual battery, computer luring of a person, and child porn. Every day, my friends, this is happening. I think a lot of people live in a bubble, and they think, well, I'm going to church, and You know, everybody's got that really good faith smile on, and we all put on the act like, hey, I got it together. We all do it. You know, they do that thing sometimes in some churches where, hey, turn around and greet the person next to you. And then what does everybody do? All of a sudden, everybody springs up. They put on this fake, all of a sudden, gigawatt smile. Hey, how are you doing? And everybody says the same thing. Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And I saw one survey statistic that said the average American lies 1 to 2 times every day. And you got to know that when we're asking people in church, how you doing? A lot of them are not doing well. And that they're in bondage to different types of sin, including the stuff I'm talking about. But they're all... Anxiety is a big deal these days. I do counseling and I work with people and I see a lot of people are struggling with anxiety in the U.S. When it comes to anxiety, the U.S. is the king, number one, the country with the most people struggling with anxiety. And you think about that, all of our riches, all of our stuff, all of our material things, what all that gotten us? And there's all this stress and pressure in the air with the current environment and the civil war, and people don't know how to deal with this, and fear is a big problem. All these things are in the mix. And, you know, when I go and speak in churches, I'll ask the pastor, hey, can I break your people up for maybe 20 minutes and just have them share with each other how they're really doing and then pray for each other? Because the early church was devoted to three things: God's word, prayer, and fellowship. Most American Christians are not devoted to fellowship. When I go and speak, I'll ask the crowd to put their hand up if they meet with another believer once a week for the purpose of support, accountability, and prayer. Usually only 15% put their hands up. I led a pastor's conference several years ago, and I asked the pastors in that room, if you meet with another brother once a week, put your hand up. And you know what? Less than 10% of the hands went up. 10%. So we have isolated pastors grooming isolated flock, and it's no surprise when we see one after another fall, one spiritual leader after another fall, because we're isolated. So when you're isolated, the enemy doesn't have a hard time picking you off. And I'll tell people, you have to meet with another brother or sister every single week. You need the support. You need the encouragement. Especially you need prayer. And then prayer, big passion of mine. In many churches, the prayer meeting is dead or very lightly attended. Some of you know Charles Spurgeon, he's called the Prince of Preachers back in the 1800s. They had prayer meetings in their church attended by the hundreds. Hundreds. We're lucky if we have a prayer meeting and like five show up. No prayer, no power. And this all circling back. If you don't have a prayer life, then you're easy pickings, especially for something as intense with this battle with the sexual sin that the enemy is using to destroy so many lives. And I hate seeing when a pastor falls, because when the pastor goes down, his family is impacted. His church is impacted. There is a wide bubble of people that get sprayed when something like this. And this is happening all over the U.S. all the time. And we act like we don't have a problem with this. 60 to 70% of men viewing porn. That's a moral crisis. Think about what the Apostle Paul would say if he came back today. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the product of pornography for a moment. What is it? Well, a lot of people think, well, they're up there having the time of their life. You know, they have this incredible sex life going. And the scary thing is, I read articles all the time of youth who watch porn because they wanted to know, they wanted some sex education. That's the wrong way to get it. But I've talked with ex-porn actresses. I've had ex-porn actresses on my radio show. We'll be playing some of those interviews in the near future. But for now, one porn actress, Shelley Lubin, who's no longer with us, she wrote, "I was more apt to spend time with a bottle of Jack Daniels than some of the men I was paid to fake it with. None of us women like doing porn scenes. We hate it. We hate being touched by strangers who care nothing about us. We hate being degraded. Some women hate it so much you can hear them vomiting in the bathroom between scenes. They hate it. They're being raped on scene. Yeah, they're being paid for it, but a lot of those women, you know, they're lost. They're in bondage. So what you're watching, if you're watching that stuff, is you're watching lives being destroyed." Another former porn actress wrote, "I was an actress in the porn industry for about a year and a half. During that time, I suffered tremendously at the hands of porn producers. I was coerced and forced to do scenes I never agreed to. I was given drugs and alcohol before being filmed, and then the porn producers would record me saying I was not under the influence of drugs or alcohol prior to filming. I was forced to doing private shows, which is just prostitution. The porn producers would send me to their friends at a location of their choosing so I could sleep with them under the guise of it being a film. I gladly accepted drugs and alcohol. A lot of the women in those scenes are stoned or drunk out of their mind. I didn't want to feel the physical pain of what was going to happen to me during those scenes, some which included me being choked. I was degraded on camera. I had to act as if I liked it, or I wouldn't get paid. I was called horrible and degrading names. This is a violation. People are watching this stuff or watching lives being destroyed on screen. This is a satanic product. What a lot of people don't know is sometimes witches' covens will cast spells and curses over some porn movies when they're being made. So if you're watching that stuff, guess who you're opening the door to in your home? She talked about the physical pain. Tearing of the vagina and the rectum are common during these scenes. One actress said she tore after her first movie. This is a horrible product. It is a horrible thing. I'm sharing this because people need to know they're not having the time of their life. Their lives are being destroyed. They are people too. And what we need is more ministries of people willing to venture into that realm. And you don't do it unless God sends you. Don't get carried away and do that without God sending you, because that's going to be a big time intense spiritual battle. But we need more prayers for the adult porn industry. And some of you just flipped your lid, but these are lost, broken people too, that are in need of Jesus. And the porn industry is shoving their junk down our throat and we're barely doing anything about it. This can't continue. Porn is a satanic product. One study of 150 deceased adult performers from the International Adult Film Database found the average age of death of a porn actress was 38 years old. Anecdotal evidence and reports from the porn industry highlight a high frequency of premature deaths, particularly from drug-related causes, suicide, and mental health issues, which include high rates of depression, suicide, and PTSD, which industry observers suggest are linked to cyberbullying, online abuse, and the pressure of the work that they're doing. Suicide rate among adult performers is significantly higher than the general population. My friends, this is the product that two-thirds of Christian men and a lot of women and a lot of youth are in bondage to. This is the product that is destroying lives of those who create it and of those who consume it. It is destroying marriages and families. I talked to one counseling pastor locally of a church of 5,000. He told me every single couple that come to them for help have pornography in their marriage. So this isn't just a few people. With surveys showing the high numbers, we're in big trouble. One article from Movie Guide had the headline that porn use among Christians reaches an all-time high. And part of the problem is that we kind of take a lackadaisical approach to this, that, hey, my church doesn't have that problem. We don't have to deal with that. And I've heard this before. I've heard people say this straight out. Part of what we do is try to educate people to the scope and the size of this and what it is doing to them and what it is doing to their life. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 5 now, where Paul writes, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. He gives the reason why we don't deal with sexual issues. We're arrogant. Hey, this is the American church. We have the biggest churches in the world, some with thousands and even some with tens of thousands. Doesn't the size of our church mean that God has blessed it? Arrogant. That's the type of thing that takes people down. Ought you not rather to mourn? Who mourns over sin these days, really? I mean, you can look on YouTube everywhere and you can get tons of videos from the pastor, your preferred pastor or church or whatever. But who really mourns? And who really mourns, particularly over sexual sin? Who mourns over the broken marriages? I'll tell you, the people that are mourning right now are those who are hurting. The men and the wives whose lives are being destroyed by this stuff. They're mourning, I can guarantee you. I've had plenty of couples in my office, and one or both are crying. They're sobbing because of the pain and the sorrow of what this stuff does to them. It tears the soul apart. It is destructive to the soul, destructive to the emotions. It's very destructive spiritually. No man, I don't care who you are, can say that you have a close walk with God if you're messing around pornography. It puts a wedge in between us, and I know this very well because I was in bondage to that stuff for 20 years, and it was horrible. Many times I would act out and binge on that stuff. And, you know, you do the act and it's enjoyable for maybe a moment or two. And then there's that horrible, miserable shame hangover. And the shame hangover would last for days. And I hated it. And then, you know, when you're married and you got to look your wife in the face and she's giving you this sweet look like, she loves you, and then you just feel like such a cast iron hypocrite inside, and you know you failed her again, and then you know, and you go to God in prayer, and then you're covered in shame and guilt. God, I want out of this. I hate it. I don't want anything to do with this. Please help me. I'm saying this. I've been there, and it's a horrible place. I remember I used to go out and travel a lot. I still do travel a lot, but I would travel a lot, and the hotel rooms would always take me down in those early years. And porn movies, you know, in the hotel rooms, I would struggle with that a lot. And then fly home and have to look my wife in the face, and it was just horrible. And then you go to church, and, you know, what's coming from the pulpit is hopefully the word of God, and you feel convicted, and there's the shame and the sorrow and the bondage, and God help me, God help me. These are the people who are in our midst every single weekend in mass numbers, And if we don't care to equip them, what are we doing here? And I'm going to continue on 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, "For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." Oh, man. And that is way above my pay grade, and I will never say anything like that. But what this illustrates is how seriously God takes sexual sin. And Paul was flipping out about the sexual sin of just one man. Think of what he would do if he came back today and those numbers and he saw 70% of Christian men fooling around with this stuff. What would Paul do today? So let's talk about some solutions. Pastors, one message every, 3 years or so is not enough. We have to equip God's people for how they break free from this stuff. We have to show them the road through. We have to give them resources and hope. And that's what we do. You can send them our way, blazinggrace.org. Tons of articles on the website. I've written books. We do counseling. We offer groups. I speak in churches. My friends, we're supposed to make disciples, not just converts. When a person is converted to Christ, the spiritual battle is on. Game on. And as soon as they're out in the parking lot, they need help. They need equipping. And a lot of people come into the faith and they're carrying all the stuff that I carried in. I was molested as a youth. So, but we have to have very honest, open discussions from the pulpit. We have to tell our people, hey, a lot of you are struggling with this, and I know you are. Please get help. And here is the path, the way through. First, I'll just give you a few small pieces. The lying has to stop. No marriage can heal until there's been a full disclosure. That doesn't mean all the details, but the lying often hurts the women more than the actual sexual sin. I've heard many wives say this. So the lying has to stop. Both the man and the women need to get plugged in with a support group or a support person. This is so very critical. You cannot walk this road alone. So if you're in this place today and you need help, please don't wait. Please contact us. Go to the website at blazinggrace.org and contact us. This thing is not going to get better. It grows. And the horrifying thing with sexual sin is that it will take you places you never thought you would have gone. So I never thought I would have had sex with a prostitute a year and a half into my marriage. But I was binging daily with porn and masturbation just a few months into my marriage. And then lust is always hungry. It is always never fulfilled. It always wants more. And I've known guys who went from heterosexual porn to same-sex porn. And then, as I read earlier, a lot of men are getting in deeper and darker with child porn, and they're going to jail for it every single day in the U.S., my friends. This stuff is so very dangerous. It's like demonic poison that you can't let get in your system. You got to get help. We have a 6-part video series where I get into all these things. You can go online and watch that. If you're in bondage, please reach out to us. We offer groups, support groups for men and for wives. And then I speak in churches. I've done quite a few, given a few Sunday morning messages on this. I can speak in your church. And we have a conference from Porn to Grace, where it's usually a 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday conference. I get into everything, what it does to the man and wife, and what the recovery process looks like. We break up and we share and we pray with each other. It's a very powerful time. So, my friends, please contact us, and we need prayer. There's a lot of spiritual warfare. surrounding this area. We go through a lot. Prayer is critical with something like this. We go through warfare from outside the church and inside the church. And we are a 501c3, and your contributions are tax deductible. So please reach out. My friends, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.